This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Morning, David.
Morning, Stephen. How are you?
Yeah. Happy Easter, my friend. How's life in the South?
Oh, well, it's a beautiful day today. It's a beautiful autumn's day, a bit of a chill in the air, but we could do with another 5 inches of rain. Perhaps you could send some down from Auckland.
Oh, no, we had a little bit of rain overnight. All right, let's talk about it. The South Island Kias. Now, I've been just following this because in the last 3 weeks, it has exploded. Name, jersey, logo, looks crackingly good. Let's start, first of all, because there's three words that you have used to potentially describe how the group are approaching this, and I was quite intrigued by it. Imagination, intuition, and innovation. Do you want to break that down for me?
Well, I think, you've got to be able to imagine what something would look like. And, a lot of people find themselves, they talk about being outside the box or outside the square. Well, I'm never in one of those things because I let my imagination roam wild. And I imagined what a successful bid would do for the South Island and rugby league in New Zealand as a whole, and it would be obviously a great rivalry with the Warriors. Intuitively, I felt that now was the right time. Rugby league is on such a high. The NRL is just going gangbusters, as we see with full houses everywhere. The game itself is just superb. Sorry, I've lost the last one.
innovation.
Innovation, yeah. Yeah, innovation is terribly important in sport today because there is some stuff happening in sport which a lot of sports don't realize are not ready to embrace, but we are. It's not often, Stephen, that you get a blank canvas to work with, and we have a blank canvas, and it's going to involve a huge amount of innovative stuff that is being developed at the moment around the sports arena, but I have to say, it's all going to be fan-friendly and fan-focused because I think the fans are often the last people to be considered. They're the first people to be considered as far as we're concerned.
Let's talk about the fan focus because I know I watched out on LinkedIn an article you popped up about fan ownership. And I'd already thought, hang on, the Green Bay Packers have been a non-profit organization owned by more than 500,000 shareholding fans since their inception, right? And they've got this wonderful, their own bylaw, which says the enterprise is a community project intended to promote community welfare. Then I took it a step further. I didn't realize FC Barcelona have 140,000 fans, Real Madrid, and then the Bundesliga, the German football competition, has rules where at least 50% of teams must be owned by fans. Now, here's my question to you. Countries with large populations, New Zealand not so. Yep. So, viably, how does it work for you?
Well, it's going to work really well because this is going to be the first time. We're going to be operating on the basis of a cooperative. And cooperatives in New Zealand account for about close to $50 billion worth of GDP. So cooperatives is not a new thing, but it's brand new in the rugby and rugby league sphere. So we want our fans to have ownership of this team. And so that we will have a hybrid cooperative model, which means that there will be investors involved as well as the fans. And the fans, I mean, I'm a member of the of a cooperative down here called Farmlands. Now, Farmlands has a huge number of stores all around New Zealand. We go in and we get our discount on horse feed and stuff like that, but that's not the real benefit. Farmlands has deals with 7,000 other businesses in New Zealand, and whenever you go into one of those businesses, and they can range from supermarkets to, you know, fuel, anything like that, you get a discount. And that's what we're going to be offering our fans, because I can imagine a huge number of businesses will want to get on board, offer our fans discount, increase their businesses, and benefit our fans.
Every business does its research and due diligence. Do you feel, and it may be an easy question for you to answer, do you feel there is enough money in the area and around to have a sustainable second NRL team in New Zealand?
Oh, absolutely I do, because there are potential investors here in New Zealand as well as overseas who we're currently pitching to. But, of course, it's all very, very early at this stage. So we're getting all of our ducks in a row so that when the NRL open up bids, we're going to be ready. And I've already assembled a phenomenal team of people, who are a lot better than I am at a lot of things. And, we're fairly confident that we can make a compelling case. And this is going to be a Pacifica bid, Stephen. We want to embrace, almost 60% of the participants in the NRL have got a Pacifica Maori background. Yep. Well, you know, we don't mind them coming across a little ditch, which is the Cook Street, but we want to stop a lot of them going across a big ditch. and to be able to give young Maori Pacifica kids an opportunity to live a dream, but in their home, in their backyard. Because a lot of these things center around the fact that a lot of our young kids have to go to Australia and they leave their family and all the support, all that sort of thing. And we want to reverse that. So that's very, very key in all of our thinking.
Was it an easy idea to embrace, knowing that the Canterbury region, and let's build the West Coast in, have such a strong legacy in the game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I actually first got involved in thinking about this in 2012 with Frank Endicott. And knowing David Gallup, obviously, who worked with me when I was at the NRL, I contacted him and, you know, talked about an extra team here in the South Island. And he said, well, one, they're not looking for any expansion soon. That was back then. And two, the South Island would be possibly very well down the list. So that sort of died a natural death. But of course, with Peter Vlandys at the helm and what he's doing with Andrew Abdo and the game in such an incredible state, now is the time. Now is our time. And we have an incredible asset that a lot of clubs over in Australia are going to be looking at with a huge amount of not so much jealousy, but, you know, wishing they had a stadium like this. And of course, that's Takaha, which is well out of the ground now, due for completion in 2026. And it is going to be phenomenal, Stephen. I mean, the fans are going to be so close. It's enclosed. It's got a roof. It's just, well, the sort of stars are all sort of getting in alignment. We just got to get our bird in there amongst the stars.
Yeah, no, I hear you completely. Have you already had talks with the Christchurch City Council and about Takaha and being a tenant?
Oh, yes. I've met with the chief executive of so we had a great chat. I was super impressed with their pragmatism, and they're obviously very keen on a team winning a bid in this part of the world. It's so exciting. I haven't been so excited for a long time, to be perfectly honest with you.
What I find intriguing, David, is you were a key member in rugby in this country for a long time. You've brought on Andy Marinos, who was looking after Super Rugby, full stop. So you've got two rugby guys here, and some might say crossing the ditch. apart from the fact that you have said that the game is on a high, Volandis, as we know, is a bit of a visionary, what is driving you to fully invest in this particular sport?
Well, I've always had an interest in rugby league. I mean, most likely before your time, when I first got to Australia, I was brought up in Kenya, but when we first got to Australia, I went to a boarding school there, and these guys were talking about rugby league, and I'd never watched a game. So we left the boarding house one day and walked down to the old Lang Park, and there was a guy called Fonda Matassa, who you may or may not have heard of. He played for North there, and he was of Greek background, never had a hair out of place, played on the wing, and I wanted to go and watch him play, which I did. And it's interesting because he made a comment at one stage when somebody asked him, "What position do you play, Fonda?" And he said, "I'm on the wing." "Well, which wing do you play on?" And he said, "Well, I'm always on the grandstand side because that's where the shade is." Oh dear! So no, I've had my son Graham is named after the great Changa Langlands. You know, and I've always had a great love of rugby league. You know, it's just part of my DNA. I never played it, never refereed it. I was fortunate enough to run the NRL for a while. Yeah, so I mean, this is a no-brainer for me, really.
Why do you think the game has exploded? And I genuinely am with you on this one because, I mean, I'm going to put the Vegas experiment aside because when I looked at, found out the numbers, not as many people watched as they would have liked to have seen it. But was it more about impressing people back here in Australia, New Zealand, about what the game can do and is doing?
Well, if we focus on Las Vegas, and as we know, Volandis is a very, very smart guy, and he knew that they were going to struggle a bit over there. But 2.4 million, I think, was the peak of people watching it back here in Australia and New Zealand, which is phenomenal. You know, the record crowds for an opening round. And now what we've got is we've got all the clubs wanting to go there. Mm. There's not a club that wouldn't jump at the opportunity in the next 5 years, and most likely it'll go further than that. But outside of Vegas, they've got a great product on the field, mate. You know, well, I hesitate to use the word product, but, you know, it's terrific to watch. It's terrific to watch at the game and also on television. And I think that that's played a big part as well. But there's a vibe, you know. And when you get a vibe like the surrounding a sport like rugby league at the moment, as we see, full crowds everywhere, the athleticism of the players. And let's face it, a lot of them are Pacifica and Maori players that are actually producing these moments of magic, like that try that was scored, to win in the last few seconds by the winger for the Storm a couple of weeks ago.
you're not supposed to mention Xavier Coates doing the impossible in the last seconds. It'll rile a few Warrior fans up. But, of course, that is the other team in the marketplace. Yeah. Have you approached Cameron George and said, "Hey, just want to say this is what we're up to. Hope you're in for to embrace it all"?
But not yet. I mean, Andrew Webster came out not so long ago and said that there wasn't any room in New Zealand for another team. I wasn't quite sure why the coach wanted to actually get involved in the debate about that, but he did. So I've had a little bit of a jibe and sort of said, well, when we get up and running, I might just approach him to come and be the coach because he's obviously such a good coach.
Yeah.
You know, but it's all going to be fantastic, friendly, right? Because I can tell you now, if we had the license and we were able to open the new stadium in 2026 against the Warriors, I could sell 50,000 tickets to that now, and it takes 30,000 max.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be extraordinary, and it's going to be our version of State of Origin. And that's what rugby league wants. They want to see. But we can. It's not an instant rivalry either, Stephen, is it? I mean, there's the rivalry between Canterbury and Auckland.
Yes.
You know, is been forever. So, but it's just taking that rivalry another step forward.
What has intrigued me is at the pace that you have launched a logo, a name, and a jersey. Now, have you done that independently and said, this is the way it's going to go, because we don't need to spend time fluffing about and getting on with it? Because I'll be blunt with you, I love the logo. And I've got to say, the jersey looks spanking as well. I mean, the colour's beautiful. How did you come about it?
Okay, so I've got a friend of mine who's a genius at this stuff, and actually he lives in Sweden, although he's a South African, lived in Australia, worked for Adidas, and now he's got his own business. And I said to him, look, I would like to actually get this launched. We've got, I want to do it in about 48 hours, and here is the brief. And he came back in 24 hours with that stuff. Now, but you know, that's the sort of thing that you can do these days, you know, with all the right tools and what have you, AI and the like, but you need to know how to use it. So what I'm also very sensitive to is that we didn't involve Murray in the actual design because we were moving so quickly, but we will be perfecting that design with a Murray designer, in the coming weeks, hopefully, just to ensure that we haven't trespassed on anything that might be sacred or thing. But it is going to be, in sort of similar vein to what we've already produced, but most likely improved. The interesting thing, though, is that people want to know where they can buy it now,
yeah.
Which I find extraordinary.
Well, I think you're on point, because it is such a good design. I'm intrigued, though, you put South Island Kia, not just Kia, because we have the Warriors who have claim New Zealand, and I'm a great believer, and they will not like me for saying this, so I'm a great believer, they should still be called the Auckland Warriors. That's their home ground, that's their home territory, and you can embrace the country by playing games without having to call yourself the New Zealand Warriors. So they've sort of trying to steal that march now that we have potential other bids. So why the South Island?
I can tell you a story about how that came about.
Yeah, please do.
When I was at the NRL, and South Sydney were supporters, 100,000 in the streets protesting, all that sort of thing. The clubs didn't want the Warriors in the competition. And so myself and David Galt flew over and met with Eric Watson and Matthew Ridge. And we were talking about, look, you guys are going to be in real trouble here unless something changes. And I suggested to Eric at the time that what he could do would be to call themselves the New Zealand Warriors, so that they were embracing not just Auckland, but the whole of New Zealand at that time. So that's how New Zealand Warriors, the name New Zealand Warriors, well, not the Warriors, but that's how the name New Zealand Warriors came about. And I think, obviously, now that things are likely to change, they would obviously, presumably they'll have a look at that, because they would still be the New Zealand Warriors, if you like, but it might be more apt for them to call themselves the Auckland Warriors and, you know, what have you, but that's obviously for them. But that's how that name came about.
All right. How confident are you?
Oh, no. At the moment, we don't know very much about the whole process. You know, I've used a horse analogy. All of the horses are in the paddock at the moment, getting ready, you know, to get to the races, and what the race looks like and all that sort of thing is yet to be determined. So I'm not going to say I'm confident at all. What we will do is we will make a very, very compelling bid, It'll reflect, New Zealand, very, very New Zealand, very South Island. But there's going to be a lot of competition, though, Stephen. I'm aware of an organisation that wants to bid that nobody even knows about yet. They asked me to get involved, and that's from Australia. It's on the East Coast, so yeah, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, but you know, you've taken the right. You've put your best foot forward to start with. The other thing that people will say, well, the money. Okay, so we know the NRL provides the salary cap, pays the salary cap, and other things in the organisation. But when you talk about the amount of finance required to run a modern NRL team, outside of that, I think it's close to what, 17, 18 million of the salary cap, or a bit further back, maybe. But it pays.
Well, the salary cap is, but the clubs get about 17 or 18 million dollars from the NRL every year.
Okay, so how much do you think you need to run a sustainable NRL team?
Well, I would say somewhere between $38 and $43 million, because that's what, I mean, I've been checking out all, you know, the stuff from the other clubs. That seems to be, I think the Broncos is quite a bit more than that, but they're a public company. There are some you can't find out because they're part of other organisations. So that would seem to be the number, and we know that we can actually make this work. And with investors behind us, which will give the NRL a great deal of comfort,
yes,
that we're not going to be a, you know, a one-week wonder or anything like that. Yeah, it's very, very doable, mate. And I wouldn't put my name and reputation on the line if I didn't think it was. I'm not in the business of starting something and letting it fail.
Well, you've proved this doubter wrong. Okay, I was a complete skeptic about a second team, and just sitting and chatting to you right now has made me turn the other way. So congratulations at this point, David. Long way to go, but thanks so much for sharing your Good Friday with us.
Well, no problems, mate. And perhaps when we are up and about, you'll be back calling rugby league. We miss your dulcet tones, mate.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. David Moffat, Chairman and CEO of the South Island Kia. All righty, so there's your chance. Get on the phone. What do you think? The South Island Kia. I love the name. I love the logo. It's aggressive, but it's quirky. The colours are great. The jersey looks fantastic. And as you heard David Moffat say, they're already asking, people are already asking, where can we buy the merch? So 0800 150 811 is the number. That's 0800 150 811. Or you can text me on the Timber Bedpost text line. That's 8833. The South Island Kia, could they, should they, will they be the next NRL franchise in New Zealand? Have a think about it and call us. Stay right here. It's Good Friday on SENZ.